Monster day of breaking sports news. Welcome in. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll talk about it all here coming up in the next 5 hours. General, at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. There's Brian Broaddus, the former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl champion. Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40, as always, here in the G-Bag Nation. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and 635, fixing to go five flawless. Eric Chiafalo, Zach Wolchuk, along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and welcome in here on a nice little Tuesday afternoon, warming up a little bit through that cold snap. Appreciate that for sure. Feeling good, and it's a big day of news for Anthony Davis so far. As Shams reported, likely to undergo surgery on the ligament damage on his hand. Dallas season essentially over, given the prognosis in the Mavs' direction. A lot of Mavs fans reacting to that this afternoon. Give us your thoughts. Franklin, injury attorney text line. Shams also saying the Mavs are having renewed Davis trade talks with multiple interested teams. Sources saying if moved to a contender, the return timeline could allow Davis to return during the postseason while establishing himself for the long term elsewhere. Davis at one point in the afternoon tweeted, this was about an hour and a half ago, y'all better stop listening to all these lies on these apps. So maybe I think if you read the timeline, that was in relation to him maybe being out for several months. Maybe he has a more optimistic view of his injury. Mark Stein reporting there is some optimism in Dallas that AD could return at some point in March, even if he is forced to undergo surgery on his left hand, league sources telling the Stein line. So this soap opera getting multiple developments. I guess it's good to know that, that he does still have some trade value. The Mavs could work something out there. Other than AD, I guess I want the Mavs to stand pat because of how Cooper Flagg is balling. He had another good game last night, 27-5-5. But I like having two centers. I like having Gafford. I like having Washington and Najee Marshall. I like the idea. I mean, maybe you could have Klay Thompson, right?
If you're draw Clay, line. Sure, yeah. Sure, yeah. Because I would love to see how this looks with Kyrie. And I think that now you've got somebody that can really orchestrate and run the offense, and Cooper Flagg will benefit immensely from that. So I agree with you. Look, this is a super talented roster. It's just unfortunate the health. And now you have this Anthony Davis situation. Him tweeting that was just bizarre. He hadn't put out anything on social media, at least on X, formerly known as Twitter, since July 19th. So he specifically went back on there to counteract whatever Shams was saying.
He might have got hacked.
You think so?
I don't know.
It wasn't a crypto thing.
Me and AD kind of got hacked, I think.
Well, I love that he's calling out the lies, but he's not inserting the truth.
What is the lie?
So we all just have to like guess what the actual lie is here.
Okay, here it is. I got a guy that told me in the league.
Okay, yes.
This guy says he doesn't want the surgery. That AD's holding off on the surgery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Physical therapy and I'll get back in the game.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Appreciate that, Brian.
Yeah.
Hey, nice work.
There we go.
Insider Brian Broaddus.
Man.
He's back. He's been watching film. He emerged from his film cave for 2 minutes to break some NBA news here for you.
Thank you. He does not want the surgery is what my guys tell me.
Clip that. Put that on Mavs Twitter. AD doesn't want the surgery.
Yep.
682 says the radio is back. Apparently we dropped at some point in the Walrus conversation there during crosstalk. And people were asking two different numbers. Did aliens take over the fan? Why is there a demon taking over the station? Were there some weird noises? It wasn't just dead air. It was possible
it's Megatron
817 upside down stuff.
Saying it sounds like Optimus Prime speaking Arabic. Are we under attack by Bane?
Okay,
everything. Why does it sound like General Zod is invading Earth right now?
We don't have as good of a view as we used to have at downtown Dallas, so I can't 100% confirm it, but there are no indications that we're under attack. It's probably just part of the powering up of the tower or, you know, some sort of software resetting or something like that. But thank you for staying patient with us through this transition into our new radio home. It's been good, you know, but there's definitely been a couple of things. I'm just happy that it appears they got this climate control figured out, and it doesn't smell like a giant a rotten egg fart because that's the experience we were having yesterday around this time.
Yeah, that was brutal yesterday.
We're good. All right. Yeah, we're working on it. DJ, the DJ, gives me the big thumbs up. We're working on it.
We're working on the alien sounds.
All I know is I showed up in our kitchen today, and our guy Travis Hill from Whataburger was here.
Yes.
Anytime you show up to your new kitchen area digs and all that,
yeah,
and Whataburger's like counter to counter. Holy jeez.
First time trying that Monterey Melt.
It's beautiful, but great day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's good being here, especially when Whataburger shows up for lunch.
Make everything better.
Yep. 559 says, Dawson, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Something was going on. Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. You know, we got the best engineering staff in the business here. They're going to get this all sorted out. Okay, speaking of getting things sorted out, Cowboys DC search. Any new names to be aware of right now? We got an interview going down with Zach Orr, and Jonathan Gannon is the latest.
Yeah, I was told they're working on names. I got a little ball sack though. I asked about a guy. Yeah. There was
Do you? What? That's random.
Thank you for sharing, Brian.
Oh, I did. I got fooled. What are you supposed to say?
No.
You got ball sack.
100%.
Don't fool again. You know?
Yeah.
Don't fool me again. But anyway, I asked about the Miami Canes, Eric. I asked about Heatherman, I think is our DC's name.
Yes.
Because there was some reports that maybe the Cowboys were looking into him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I asked my guys over there, and they're like, no, that's not true.
All right,
not true. No truth.
Got to keep our staff intact.
Yeah, so there was some questions about him. He was a name I had not seen, so I asked, and my guys were prompt to say, negatory good.
Dang, he would have the inside scoop on all these Hurricane defenders, though, when it comes to the draft. Like we're talking about with Patricia coming from Ohio State, but Heatherman, he'd be like, yeah, you want this guy, you want this guy, you want this guy.
Why don't you move up, go get Bain, let's find an extra pick, get Mesidor for me, and then that Keontae Scott guy, I'm going to need an extra pick, we're going to need to get him.
Of course, we're going to need Jacoby Thomas as well.
Of course, let's just rerun this thing.
I did ask about today because they were throwing names, so I threw one in there. I said, hey, how about Swartz can interview here today, anything like that? And he said, no, not today, but do like the guy. So we'll see if when Jim Swartz, Cleveland Browns, when he gets finished with all his head coaching responsibility interviews, maybe Dallas will jump in there on that, hopefully.
I think it's great that Dallas is jumping in on a lot of things here. You know, I think this is the first coaching search I've covered that has expanded to this many names. We're six in already. Doesn't appear like there's any stopping, any slowing down. Let's get everybody in here. Let's get Shoddy a chance to talk ball with as many people as possible after his first year as a head coach. I'm sure he's got a lot of assumptions and ideas, and it'd be very interesting to get a broad range of context and ideas from other people around the league. So I think this is an absolute win-win. And I don't know who I want out of these guys. I'm gonna be satisfied with whoever Shoddy selects, unless I do homework and it just seems like a brutally bad fit. Mm-hmm. You find out that Jerry stepped in and said, "Well, I want this head coach because his former team's paying him a bunch of money. This is gonna save me $3 or $4 million I can throw in the stock market." So deal with it, Shoddy. I'm sure you're gonna do a better job than you did with Eberflus managing your DC. I can see that. Can't rule it out.
Definitely.
Can't rule anything out.
Right now, the only name that I'm iffy on. The rest of them, I'm excited to buy. I think all of them have tremendous potential. I just don't know what to think about Jonathan Gannon. I don't know how good of a hire that
would
necessarily
be. Don't let me influence you on that, by the way.
Well, it's just even like, and I heard Bobby this morning, you know, because Sean brought up the point that we all have where his defenses haven't been good in Arizona. And then it seemed like Philadelphia, the fan base there, now they always want to fire their coach. So you got to take that with a grain of salt. But
they want to get rid of Dick Fangio?
No. With Jonathan Gannon. Oh. Like even the year they went to the Super Bowl, like they were doing so despite their defensive coordinator in a lot of people's eyes. So he's one that I'm just not quite sure. But then again, when they hired Dan Quinn, we had questions. And he was a guy that was coming off a bad ending to his tenure as a head coach and took a year off. And that worked out great.
Yeah.
So I'd give him the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise.
I had a couple of guys tell me, has he gotten better as a coach?
Hmm.
That's the thing. You know, they're like, hey, listen, great guy. You know, I feel like he works hard, but has, you know, they also were saying he's over his head as a
head
coach.
He had that embarrassing moment on the sideline where he hit that player, and I wondered, man, does this guy have the composure to, you know, to really do that, and where else could that materialize?
Maybe we need a guy like that to hit the players.
Well, I mean, if that's what you're looking for, it might be your guy.
That's what I'm saying, though. Maybe we Maybe Mozzie Smith would still be here if we had a coach that would slug him.
Bring the belt out on the sideline.
Tolo pull the coaching belt off and like snap it.
The 214 is Tolo Jeff. He says, I got y'all back. Woo. Okay, so this is a perfect time now that our radio signal is back. If you're a radio listener, just go ahead and get that Odyssey app locked in.
Yeah.
And then get your YouTube app open and go to Dallas Fan Cam and subscribe to us right there. Yeah. And if you're already on YouTube, like the video to help us get better distribution. It'll show up on more sports home pages across the channel. Let's get all the Tolos, you know, good backup options, whether you want just the audio feed there with the Odyssey app or you want the video feed as well on YouTube. We sure would appreciate it. You can hit that bell button so you never miss when we upload or go live. We're cranking out shorts on YouTube. Twitch is a good option as well. The Tolo Twitch community is very robust.
Yeah. Nice folks on that thing.
Maybe if you're more native to that that Twitch platform, that could make sense for you as well. You can find us on there pretty easy. Okay, that Houston defense was something else last night against the Steelers. Mm. Mike Tomlin has resigned.
Because of it.
Yeah. I don't know if those are connected. There were a lot of reports throughout the year that maybe he was looking at something else. That report from a couple of months ago, Giocina Anderson, saying there's a veteran coach that might be looking to do something else. She's since tweeted this afternoon and said, yes, I was talking about Tomlin at the time, but... I mean, Houston was incredible, right? So that's part of the story as well. To overcome a pretty rough game from C.J. Stroud and to win going away, you turn it over three times and they only get 3 points, one field goal off those three turnovers.
I swear to God, he was had money on this game.
It was so
Stroud.
I was watching it, and Michelle and I were sitting there, and she's like, what is he doing? I'm like, I think he's got money, dear. I think he's got money on the game, you know? And she goes, man, he's playing awful right now. And I go, he's trying to keep Pittsburgh in this game.
Yeah.
You know, so the pocket awareness, and all year long he hadn't, and the throw he missed across the field,
mm-hmm.
I'm like going, man, come on, that's a throw you got to make. And it's just a strange game for him, you know? I mean, and he never looked comfortable playing in that game, but I'll tell you what, man, they ran the ball.
Didn't
expect that. Knew that defense was going to be a problem, though, for Pittsburgh.
It's incredible.
Going to be a problem for them.
You know, and we talked about that a couple of times in the lead up to the game, to like just how ugly it could get for Pittsburgh, and it was every bit that ugly. I don't know if Houston's defense is going to be that dominant in the next round, but if it can play anywhere close to how good it looked last night, this is a team capable of winning it all.
I'm picking them to beat New England. I'm picking them to beat New England.
Is that your lead pipe lock?
I'm just saying this.
Stone cold?
Watching that, just them get pressure, watch that team, how physical they play, and watch how they tackle. And all of a sudden, if they found a little bit of a running game here, you know what? That's going to travel, man. That is going to travel.
C.J. Stroud going to – you confident that he's not going to –
Absolutely not.
Okay.
But, you know what? We had a defensive touchdown last night. That might be all we need.
Couple of them.
We can win this thing 7-3. It looked like we were going to win it, you know, just with a field goal with 1 point, 7-6 for a long time there. But
they could have. They would have.
I just – man, Houston, that thing is going to travel. That defense is going to travel, and they're going to be a problem for New England.
So you got another possible place for Brian Flores to land, another head coach opening across the NFL.
Yep.
Flores was a DC there for a defensive assistant a couple of years ago for one season with Pittsburgh, and he liked his experience there. So a number of things are being talked about. Jesse Minter, Chris Shula among your candidates.
Fourth time that Pittsburgh is going to hire a coach since 1969.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. And 19 seasons without a losing season, you know, the career so unique. But he also becomes the first coach to go winless in playoff games in 9 consecutive years.
Yeah,
Steelers are the first team in history to lose 5 straight playoff games by double digits.
I wonder if he did this one for the Rooneys. I wonder if the Rooneys, they didn't want to fire him, and he felt like a sense of...
That's my read on it.
Yeah, I'm like, listen, I don't want you guys to have to fire me. I'll step down.
Yeah, and he had an option for 2027 coming up on March 3rd, so I think that could have been a point of contention. Yeah. Like, if they're waffling a little bit, then he starts to feel unappreciated. The writing's on the wall. It's like, dude, I can go do other things.
He took it out of the Rooneys' hands.
Yeah.
Is what he did.
They retain his rights. So, like, if he wants to take a year off like Sean Payton did, then I guess, what, do they have to trade him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So they could get something for him? Mm-hmm. That's wild.
All right, we got the top 10 at 220 after the G-Bag of the Day champion replay. If you ever missed the G-Bag of the Day at 5:30, Lucius replays the champ for you every afternoon, 220. Well, Chuck, what's the top 10 looking like?
All right, so, man, the transfer portal's been crazy in college football. The top 10 most impactful transfers in college football history, 877-881-1053. Who comes to mind? That's next in the nation.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The fan segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. It's the Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Wolchuk's top 10 in a minute. Let's go to the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius with your jam.
Big Godzilla stomping through North Dallas right now. Stomping through North Dallas. Off here, a coit. Yeah. Watch out!
Watch out!
Hey, G-Bag the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan 5:30. My name is L.A. Our winner and champ will face some challenges at 5:30. I got some John Blaze. I do.
Very nice.
But our winner right here is Trap House Sports. You familiar with him? He has a diss track to the Packers. Not the Packers fans, just the Packers, because if you're a Cowboys fan, the Packers keep a foot in our behinds.
Let's play winner stay, loser go home. Lost to a dude with a pink cell phone.
Damn.
Michael went to Green Bay, they gave him plenty cash. Tell them Packers team to swim their ass. Yes, them Packers. Yes, them Packers. Yes, them Packers. Yeah, yes. Them Packers, we both in Cancun, so what y'all say don't matter. We both ain't win no ring, but I think your team is trash. Yes, them Packers. Yes, them Packers. Yes, them Packers. Yeah, yes, them Packers. We both watching from home, so what y'all say don't matter. And my teammate be ass, but I think your team is
ass.
The Green Bay Pack. My CT tweaking, it's time to get crazy. Jordan Love got them braids from honest behavior. Why he throw a screen pass to a lineman? Why the f*** do y'all think y'all the line? My CT tweaking, I'm about to get wrecked. Why y'all going so hard for our sloppy second? My CT tweaking, it's time to get hazardous. The Packers like Trap House.
He said you got the braids like the dude from Mindless Behavior. That's hilarious if you know about that group. That's crazy.
Well, crazy good stuff. Amazing. Once again, he's sitting in your throne as G-Bag of the Day champion. Salute to Trap House himself. It's I always look forward to it. You know that, and keep them rolled, yeller them, which we might have to bring back a little bit later on. Wolchuk.
Okay.
But it's time now for your top 10 at 220. Here's Zach with an H.
All right. Let's talk transfer portal, shall we? 877-881-1053, the most impactful transfers in NCAA history. Shout out to Alec Medford, man. Little Red is on it. I know the morning show gives him a lot of credit all the time for always sending the breaking news. He's done it again. As Ian Rappaport, the rap sheet. Ooh. Did you say this?
No.
Okay,
what happened?
Good. No. I don't know. So
it's Britney Spears' joke.
You did it again.
Yeah.
Damn it! I should have been on that one.
It's my bad.
Because I loved. I mean, I was. Who didn't love Britney at that
How
stage?
How old was she when she made that video, bro? That was out of control.
Probably not. 23.
Yeah. A little girl clothes on. A little private school girl clothes on.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
Tripping, bro.
Oh, baby.
Hollywood. Freaky.
49ers are opening the practice window for Pro Bowl linebacker Fred Warner. The hope he returns for the NFC title game if they can make it that far.
Oh, okay. So not for this week.
Not for this week.
They need all hands on deck this week.
They want to practice him, so they're not going to force him into action this week. They think they're going to beat the brakes off the Seahawks. That was a quote, "We're going to beat the brakes off the Seahawks," said by me.
Oh, okay.
As if I were with the 49ers.
That would be bullets and more board material.
I didn't want to ball sack or butt crack anybody out there. That was just me ad-libbing.
Just a little ball sack.
Just a little one.
I can't wait to hear that again. I got a little ball sack.
What a day. It's amazing.
Amazing is the what? What do you mean? What? You guys.
How else do you say it?
What?
You guys, yeah, you started to point the finger at us. Like, we're inconsiderate.
Well, the great part was,
get your minds out of the gutters.
Right before we got the mics on, Brian said he might need to use the men's room.
That was a restroom revelation.
The noise that he made just had me in the giggles. It was just, he was like, ugh. And trust me, dude, I held that in last Thursday the entire show. I was just too the phobia. I got home, ran straight to the bathroom. My wife's like, "Great, you're going to be in there for 30 minutes." So I'm like, "I don't know how long this is going to take," but it was amazing. All right, enough of that. Let's try and be professionals. Who am I kidding? Top 10 most impactful transfers in the college football history. 877-881-1053. The honorable mentions. O.J. Simpson comes in at 12 on the outside looking in.
Where was he before USC?
He enrolled. Are you ready for this?
Cal State Northridge.
City College of San Francisco in 1965. He attracted the attention of a number of bigger schools before deciding to play at USC. Debuting in 67.
It's a slashing running style.
Oh, he was a slasher and a dasher. Over 1,500 yards and 13 touchdowns, contributing to an Addy. And if the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Wasn't a small-handed player.
No, not at all. They did not worry about his hand size. He was not the Jared Goff of running backs. In fact, he had big hands. Number 11, OLI, Randy Moss.
Randy Moss started off, I believe he signed Florida State, Notre Dame, and then ended up at Marshall.
You know the timeline well, don't you?
I got in a discussion with Jeff Lurie about this player.
Well, Jeffrey.
He didn't want him? At the board. No, he said he didn't feel comfortable taking him. Well, and I explained to him, I said, "Mr. Lurie, that's our best wide receiver on the board." He says, "Brian, I'll take the heat if he turns into be an all-pro." And every time I've ever seen Jeff Lurie, he's reminded me about Randy Moss.
Wow.
Yep.
Look, I don't think Jeffrey Lurie was probably alone. I think there were, I mean, what pick did it end up going, 27?
Oh, we got passed through a couple of times. I think Cincinnati had two times to draft him.
Gosh.
Dallas had a crack. I had a chance to draft him at 11. I didn't get it done. I mean, because of my owner, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yep, he went Notre Dame, denied admission over a high school fight, led to him being charged with a misdemeanor. Then he transfers, got a chance to play at Florida State, but he never played a snap for
never
the Seminoles.
Never played a snap.
After ending up in jail over a drug test that triggered a probation violation.
Yep, which would be nothing right now, I believe.
No. And then he finally played at Marshall, and he tied Jerry Rice's record for the most touchdown catches in a season with 28. Number 10 most impactful transfer in college football, Roger Staubach.
Roger Staubach, the most impactful. He was from Cincinnati, Ohio. He did not go from Navy.
So what he did was he began his college career at the New Mexico Military Institute.
Okay.
Before earning a spot on Navy's roster in 62 after being nominated for enrollment at the Academy in Annapolis.
So he's a waitlisted guy.
Their JV team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then led Navy to a 9-1 record.
Won the Heisman 63.
And then lost to 63, and then lost to Texas and the Natty.
Yeah, and actually in the Cotton Bowl, I believe.
Was it the Cotton Bowl, but the National Championship?
They lost to Texas there, yeah.
Wow. Damn, Texas. I mean, they were loaded in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Really, really good football teams. How about Scott?
More than you know, brother. More than you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Scott Frost coming up next with Nebraska.
Scott Frost.
So he made the transfer. His first two seasons were at Stanford.
Ah.
And then he moved over to the Huskers, going 24-2 in two seasons as a starter, won the national championship with a 13-0 record in 97. And then was he the quarterback of Nebraska when they got – no, not when Miami beat the crap out of him. That was somebody else. That was Eric Crouch.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Browns. Troy Aikman makes the list now.
Oklahoma to UCLA.
Yep. 20-4 record during his two seasons with the Bruins, earned the Davey O'Brien as his senior, capped off a college career that preceded an even more successful one in the National Football League. Then we've got Russell Wilson.
He went from North Carolina State to Wisconsin.
Wisconsin led the quarterback to transfer there, 11-3, beat Michigan State in the Big Ten championship game during his only season in Madison. Had a hell of a season there for the Badgers. Then Jaden Daniels is next up on the list.
Jaden Daniels, I'm hoping that history repeats itself. This will be Arizona State to LSU.
Mm-hmm. And we know what happened there. Won himself a Heisman, ends up being the number two overall pick, and goes to Washington. We'll see how his NFL career goes, but they're hoping to channel that with Sam Levitt now.
Oh, yeah, we do, for sure.
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams was at Oklahoma, then went to USC.
Yes, sir. Didn't really live up, at least record-wise, to the hype. At USC, they went 7-5 in 2023, Won the Heisman in 22, but their record, they were 11-3 during that season. I think that's the year they lost the Cotton Bowl to Tajay Spears. And was it Tulane, I believe, in that Cotton Bowl? Then you've got Kyler.
Oh, yeah, they lost, yeah, the Cotton Bowl there. Tulane made a frantic comeback.
They were, I mean, game. And that Tulane team
they were,
was loaded.
I mean, USC they had a lot of talent. Celebrating. They were like, it was one of those
the
things
hell of
like
game.
Pour the water of the Gatorade bucket on the coach and kind of celebrations.
Ooh, we got some good texts here that are going to be coming up on the list. Hurts to OU getting texted in. Baker, I mean, we got a lot of the Sooner crowd.
That'd be Tech to Oklahoma, right?
Mm-hmm. But here's Kyler Murray.
That would be Texas A&M to Oklahoma.
A&M. He began his career at A&M, sat out a year before serving as Baker's backup in 2017. Then he got his chance to play for OU. They go 11-2. He wins the Heisman Trophy. They lose, of course, in the playoff that year. But what a run for Kyler at Oklahoma. Baker Mayfield comes up next. He is number three on the list, is Baker Mayfield.
Tech to Oklahoma.
Grew up rooting for OU, ultimately decided to attend Texas Tech as a walk-on. Mm. Ends up being the freshman of the year. Then he transfers after he goes 5-2. And Oklahoma brings him in, ends up having a storied career with the Sooners. They go 11-2 3 years in a row. They get in the college football playoff. He wins a Heisman. He was brilliant. Number two.
Cam Newton, that would be Florida Auburn, I believe.
He spent
Blinn, Florida.
Or Florida. Florida. Florida, Blinn, Auburn.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yep, rode the bench at Florida. And then he had the disciplinary issues. I think it was what, he stole a laptop or something.
He tried.
And then he leaves the program. He goes and spends a season playing JUCO at Blinn. They win a national championship. Gets to Auburn.
Win a national championship.
Heisman national championship. 14-0.
I'd say he's pretty good.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Number one, though, most impactful transfer in the history of college football.
Please tell me this is Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Go Tigers.
Thank you.
Yep. Joey Burrow goes from Ohio State, where he spent the first 3 years learning, backing up, transfers to LSU, gets the starting job. Tigers go 10-3. Then in 2019, Joe Burrow leads the country in passing yards, 60 touchdowns, and leads the Tigers to a 15-0 record, winning the Heisman and the national championship. That is your number one overall most impactful transfer in the history of college football. Agree?
Agree.
Yeah, without a doubt. His numbers are ridiculous. Did you see them throw up Mendoza's numbers compared to Joe Burrow's?
It's crazy.
From that year, the crazy 2019 LSU year, and Mendoza's numbers don't even come anywhere close.
I will say this, though. I mean, I would like to see Mendoza, if he had Jefferson and Chase as wide receivers, because of how accurate he is. You know, that would be kind of cool. But, yeah, LSU, that they talk about this Indiana team, maybe one of the greatest of all time. I think there's some Oklahoma teams, Alabama teams, Nebraska teams, Miami teams back in the day that would probably beat these teams, would beat this team.
It's interesting because the portal and the money, it consolidates the talent at the top, but it's also dispersing it at the top.
Yeah.
You know, there's no like, well, we got to go there if we want to win a championship and get to the NFL. There's a bunch of big universities that are starting to put together big budgets, and we can't all get paid at this spot. You could take care of a two-deep roster of NFL draft picks when you just had to give him a shoebox of money and a scholarship. You know, now the money has gotten so big that it's actually pulling the talent out of the bottom five conferences a lot, and really to the top two. But then once you get into those conferences, it's spreading it out more. And as a result, I don't know if we'll ever see a team. You know, or it's more difficult now to build a great team, a historic team. You know, the generational squads, I think, you know, we need to find a new guy who's so good at program building in this new era to match the top end greatness of previous generations.
Do you think the Big Ten now is better at spending money than the Southeastern Conference?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're better evaluators?
Yeah, they're out in front of it more. You know, they did that deal with that sovereign wealth fund to bring in all that cash that they're sharing. Mm-hmm. I think there's just a lot of evidence that with those schools, they've been a little bit more proactive in helping all of the universities figure out how to generate revenue.
Can I ask another question here real quick? I don't know if we're up against it. Are we? Real quick.
Oh, yeah, we're good. We're
okay, real quick, though. Are we going to see the end of the recruiting of high school quarterbacks?
Wow. I think it's still worth a shot if the kid loves your university, you know. But I think it's just less important. But it's still worth a shot to see if you can get a guy to stay 3, 4, 5 years for you.
Yeah, like the Bryce Underwoods, the five-star. And you never know if that freshman can immediately come onto campus, then they're able to just, like, transcend your program and go on a crazy run. So I think the elite talents will still get recruited. But I do think, to your point, it's probably going to be, like, lesser valued because I can just hit the portal and go get the new –
the five-star quarterback. The five-star quarterback might have a rough path as opposed to a guy like Mendoza who played at Cal who you have film on and you're like – let's go get this guy.
Yeah.
You know, give me the ready-made guy instead of waiting on Underwood at UCLA or Michigan. And only winning 8 games.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think you have to be able to tell him we got the best possible quarterback coaches. You might not be playing here immediately, but we're going to develop the hell out of you and
It sounds like Oregon's that team right now.
Yeah, and Oregon, I mean, that's a portal team right there. Yeah. I mean, they've been on a stretch of getting really good transfer quarterbacks and doing the most with them.
By the way, the Eagles did announce the firing of their OC.
No more Kevin Petullo and Filthy. They made the move.
No more eggs on his house.
Thank you for that update, and thank you for that top 10, Wolchuk. Well, let's continue with the college football, Chief. What do you say?
Yeah, we got ourselves a College Football Tuesday Darty where Kurt Cignetti has an added distraction and lead up to the Natty. That's next in the Nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And it is time for a little college football darty. Derek Chiafalo, here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Plenty to get into right after this.
Well, looky here. Mr. Cold Turkey put a mini booze bottle in his headset.
I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Special teams, fucking joke.
I want them never to say our name again!
Well, I don't get... Ray Van Cole.
Kurt Cignetti, Indiana's head coach, might have a little bit more of a distraction thanks to the Mike Tomlin news in Pittsburgh. Now, I was not aware of this until earlier today, but apparently Cignetti is from Pittsburgh.
Well,
this is true.
Is this the dots that we're connecting? As Josina Anderson put out, that the Steelers could land a very interesting plot twist of a head coach?
Yes, or it could be according to the odds, because I just saw Bet Online has their odds for the next Steelers head coach, and I don't see Cignetti's name in the top like 15 of these. Okay. So that is still not on the Vegas radar, but Marcus Freeman is second here on the list. We know Marcus Freeman announced a couple of weeks ago or whatever that he was good on the NFL and he wants to stay at Notre Dame, but there's also been reports that NFL teams have said, cool, glad to hear that, but we're still going to be calling you and blowing up your phone to see if you could be one of the 7 or 8 now available head coaching jobs. Teams are still giving him a call. And would Pittsburgh be one that is such a unique opportunity, a job that almost never comes available? Yeah. Would Marcus Freeman reconsider things? He's right now second in terms of the odds after Brian Flores, who is number one.
I wonder if the incident over the weekend makes him a little bit more willing to leave Notre Dame.
Yeah, that was kind of
a weird deal, and he was found not guilty of anything, and there was a video that came out of it, and nothing looked wrong. I mean, I would be defending my son, too, if people were being jackwagons and saying whatever they were saying.
Yeah, his son's a wrestler in high school, and some high school wrestling coach got mouthy or whatever, and so there was some type of verbal altercation that got reported, and the high school coach was trying to act like Marcus Freeman put his hands on him in some kind of way. Video confirms that never happened. So it's much to do about nothing. But yeah, Marcus Freeman is going to be in the conversation here for the Steelers' next head coach, and perhaps Kurt Cignetti is as well.
I mean, it's just not the kind of college coach I want to bring to the NFL. You know, he is
Cignetti?
Freeman.
Freeman.
Program builder, culture builder. I mean, that's specific to college or the NFL. It's just a different ball of wax. So in order to want a college coach at the NFL level, I think he's got to be a schematic genius that is in the trenches harvesting advantages for his players, and you're just betting that that's going to work on the gridiron of the pro level. You know, but culture builder with 18 to 22 is different. Maybe it's closer to what it was now that some of these guys are getting paid, but it's still significantly different. I think there's too much risk there.
Okay, here's something you need to keep in mind.
All right.
We're talking about this is the fourth head coach they're going to hire, right?
Yeah. Yep.
The last two coaches they've hired have both been the age of 34.
Right. They like to go the younger route because they want to keep you for two decades.
They want to go the young route here. And would it make sense to maybe talk to the guy, the Jesse Minter kind of a guy out there in
With the Chargers.
With the Chargers.
Well, especially if it's the team within your own division.
Yeah.
And the Ravens are also trying to vie for him.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the way the Rooneys operate. They want to give guys like their first real opportunity. Bill Cowher was basically like a linebacker coach, special teams coach, working under Marty Schottenheimer. And then, you know, mm-hmm. Tomlin was working
Came
under
out of nowhere.
Yeah, Tony Dungy in Tampa kind of a thing. So, yeah, I would kind of keep an eye on who the young coach might be in this situation.
Yeah, age would certainly be working against the Cignetti theory, who is 64 years old or whatever. Yeah.
They don't want to make a change. I think they want to hire somebody that they could live with for, obviously, for a decade or
20 years, maybe,
if they can.
At best.
Yeah.
42 for Jesse Minter, 40 for Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, there you go.
On the younger side.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited. I'm excited about the Steelers.
I wonder if Big Mike gets any mentions. Sorry, Dolphins. I know this is the Darty.
McCarthy?
Yeah.
No, it's all good. I mean, it's under the same umbrella.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. He's from Pittsburgh. I mean, that's why he brought in DiNucci.
True.
I think he's native Pittsburgh, you know. Didn't lose the accent. I think they would love him until he coached a couple of games for him.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if you're a Steelers fan?
Until they realize they're going to have to hire their fifth coach.
We're going to have Mike McCarthy for the next 15 years.
Yeah. Golly. If you believe he can develop your coach, like, they got to draft a new quarterback, right? So I think that's a big part of it. I guess you could get good quarterback development without having that as your head coach, but I would like to, if I'm Pittsburgh, I want to see what kind of quarterback developing guys we can get going in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's been the biggest missing ingredient for a long time now with Pittsburgh is just the inability to be in a position to actually take a top tier quarterback. We'll see what happens. Maybe Ty Simpson's that guy. It looks like he's officially signed his paperwork, so he will be entering the NFL draft. Plenty of teams were trying to throw the bag at him to stay one more year in college, but he has said thank you, no thank you. He has signed the paperwork, and yeah, maybe a team like the Steelers would be interested in him. As a guy that may probably not go in the top 10 or whatever.
He's a graduate, right, already? I mean, I think I've noticed, like, under his SEC badge that
this
he wears.
This was his fourth year there, wasn't it? Yeah, fourth or fifth year. He'd been there a while.
I think he's a graduate, so he probably doesn't need to be hanging around for anything. You know what I'm saying? Taking a couple classes like Joe Burrow did online so you don't have to do anything. But I think he's already got his degree.
He's 23 years old.
Yeah.
But he's got very little starts under his belt.
Yeah, so Mitch Trubisky, like.
Yeah, yeah.
We kind of ran through the name of all those guys that have only played 1 year, and they all kind of were busty kind of players, like Ryan Leaf, busty player, Keeley Smith, busty player, you know.
Anthony Richardson,
busty.
Trubisky,
kind of a busty player, yeah.
Jared Lorenzen, busty player.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a different kind of
player. There's a long lineage of busty players.
Yeah. Jamarcus Russell.
Especially at that position. There is a superstar offensive lineman, Colorado's tackle, is hit the portal, okay? Mm. And it seems like Texas is on a fast track to try and get this dude. He's probably going to be the highest paid offensive lineman in NCAA history.
He went to Colorado, huh?
Yeah, he was at Colorado. Now he's in the portal. Well, every team in the country is trying to get this guy. He's a mammoth of a human being, and it's hilarious because he used a video that was made by Colorado's graphics department to announce that he was entering the transfer portal.
Oh, no.
They created it under the assumption that it was going to be like his return video, like his announcement that he's staying at Colorado, but it was the announcement that he's actually going to be.
Was it him standing on the mountains?
Colorado.
Standing on the. With his arms
what we had
up.
In mind.
What are we doing?
I think
that
the
looks
Longhorns.
Like Tyron Smith, man.
Yeah, he's.
He looks like Tyron Smith.
He's an animal. He is huge.
Was he at Colorado or did he transfer from?
He was their big get last year in the signing day. He was like the 5-star tackle freshman that they got.
This dude's going to get like quarterback money in the portal.
I mean,
right
and
now.
He deserved. He looks like he's going to be arguably the number one pick.
Jordan Seaton.
IMG Academy guy where Tyler Booker went.
Yeah, he's incredible. So we'll see how that goes. But he's the biggest commodity going right now in the portal. Every team in the country needing stud offensive linemen.
Let's see if Lombardi's got a price on him.
Pro Football Focus's highest highest graded defensive player in the college football playoff is Miami Hurricanes defensive back Bryce Fitzgerald, who was robbed by armed suspects at an Airbnb in Florida City. He's just partying it up, having himself a good time, enjoying the fact that he's one game away from being a national champion. He's in Miami, and he's being robbed. Like, this dude is putting on for your city right now in a huge way, and he's not injured, everything's fine, but come on, dude, have a little bit more respect for one of the best players going right now trying to win you a natty.
Ridiculous.
I guess that would be the one downside of going to a big city university, you know, is there's a lot of people here that don't know who you are.
Yeah.
You find yourself in Chapel Hill, no one's going to rob you. Yeah. And if they do rob you, their name is Mud.
They are wanted forever.
Yeah.
You also have Kyle Whittingham, who is now the head coach with Michigan.
Michigan.
He was doing a podcast interview with Urban Meyer, and he was talking about Bryce Underwood.
That's weird.
Well, he was the
Utah connection.
Utah connection, exactly. So he says, in regards to the Sharone Moore coaching staff and the things that they were doing, they have the 17-year-old true freshman quarterback who turned 18 in the middle of the season, Underwood. And apparently there was no dedicated quarterback coach working with him on a daily basis because they had an offensive coordinator who was slash quarterback coach, and apparently there was nothing in the way of actual quarterback coaching going on. So the freshman Underwood is basically coaching himself. He's like, that's the biggest thing I'm changing right now on this Michigan staff is we will actually have a quarterback coach. Sharone Moore and company just sort of bypass that role altogether as if they are some random D3 school that's trying to put a budget together and can't afford to have a quarterback coach.
Well, he had to cut back the budget so he could pay his girl.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, the funds were going somewhere.
Giving her a raise every year.
He didn't.
That's five girls worth of salary.
Seriously. You know? Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, he took advantage of that.
He sure did.
But Bryce Underwood not having a quarterback coach. That is ridiculous.
They still went 9-3.
Still went 9-3.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the Heisman for next year.
This is all blessing in disguise, okay? Because Michigan's about to get it done once again. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chief. We got one down, four to go. Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports Radio out of Chicago, joins us next to talk NFL playoffs here on The Fan.